Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. We're going to have a really great show today, especially when he arrives. We have Dr. Bud Young, not Milk Bud, this morning. And we're going to be talking about a number of subjects. And, you know, it's just like when you go to the doctor's office and you sit there and wait for about 15 or 20 minutes or 30 or 45. He's got me on that same schedule this morning. But we're really, really going to have a great show. And we want to let you know that part of this show is brought to you by Absolute Auction. And that will be 2925 Coleman Hill Road. That's an Absolute Auction at 2925 Coleman Hill Road. Tract 1 will be sold and first, I presume, 14 acres per site. It's available for a 1-2 bedroom expandable or a 1-3 bedroom and with a good well on it. Tract 2, 10 acres, 3 bedroom perk. Tract 3, 11 acres, 3 bedroom perk. And tract 4, 16 acres with a 3-bedroom perk. And it's an absolutely beautiful piece of property. It is a combination of woods, pasture, plus along with great features, each of these tracts offers the lucky buyer a rare chance to purchase land conveniently located between Franklin and Murfreesboro, just minutes off of Highway 96, perfect for your dream home, horses, hunting, and more. And you can find out more by calling Larry Sims, auctioneer, 615-300-8321, or David Gilliam, agent, 615-506-9353. And you can also pull up Larry, that's Larry Sims, www.larrysims.com. This is one sale that you do not want to miss. And we also want you to know that for this month, and this month only, they've got a special sale over at Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on Ridgely Road. And all this month, when you mention you heard it on WGNS, you get free front wiper blades with a standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive. That's all this month. When you mention you heard it on WGNS, you get free front wiper blades with a standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive. And I think Scott is here, and we've got some breaking news.
Yeah, right now the time is 9:09. We do have a story for you. One woman allegedly used a claw hammer to seriously beat a man after a dispute over a business transaction. Now, this occurred on Tuesday night in Rutherford County, but apparently they just recently made an arrest. Victim Jim Germano of River Road suffered multiple injuries all over his entire body after being beat with the claw hammer. That according to Detective Ralph Mayrick. Germano was treated and released from Middle Tennessee Medical Center, so there's some good news. He's already back home. Mayrick charged suspect Erica Franklin, age 27, of Nashville, with aggravated assault, attempted robbery, and felony vandalism. Germano apparently met the woman online, according to the detective. She came to his home where they had an argument over a business transaction. She allegedly beat him with the hammer. Now, afterwards, Germano tried to chase her down, but he did not. Deputy Casey McClure reported he located Germano at the convenience center on Leanna Road. Emergency medical services then took Germano to MTMC. Detectives located Franklin as part of their investigation, and she is now being held under a $30,000 bond at the Sheriff's Department, that is at the Adult Detention Center, and a hearing has already been set for her to appear in court November the 5th. She'll be in General Sessions Court. Detective Major Bill Sharp warned people to know who they are dealing with before conducting business transactions with them online.
Yeah, one thing about it is when you're dealing with people like that, that you don't have, you have really no knowledge at all. I mean, whether it will turn out to be a physical encounter or whatever, you need to always do some background on anybody that you do business with. And I know, especially in certain times of year, we have a number of people that come through from other states, primarily one of them, of course, is South Carolina, where they do a lot of fraudulent things with you at your home. So if you have somebody come to your home and want to work on your roof or maybe paint some things around your home or do a driveway or whatever, those are things that stand out, especially with older people, that you don't want to trust those type of people, because over the years I had to deal with that so many times, and actually it's on a yearly and sometimes semi-annually basis where you have to deal with those things, and you're always going to lose, and it's always going to cause you a lot of problems. So always know the people that you deal with, and find out some kind of background with them. Detective Marisick is a good guy. I mean, he is an extremely good detective, and as they do over at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department and Murfreesboro City too. And we're very fortunate that we have people like that are looking out for our best interest.
You know, I had a motorcycle about 3 years ago, sold it 3 years ago, and I still had the helmets. And we recently listed those helmets for sale on Craigslist, mm-hmm. and we actually had two people come up to our house to buy the helmets. And I guess looking back, that wasn't a good idea to invite them out to my house to get the helmets. I should have met them somewhere.
Well, it's one of those things. If you meet them somewhere,
same thing, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of got the same thing. But when you're doing business over the internet, you know, you younger guys, you're a lot more trusting than say people my age or whatever dealing with something over the internet. I don't even have Facebook or anything else, because I guess we're a little bit more protective, I guess, in those type things. We, even though we grew up in a more open time where we were more trusting during the 50s and the 60s and 40s and stuff like that. But you have to be extremely careful, because you younger people are a whole lot brighter than we are when it comes to gadgets and things like that. And you can do so many great things with them, but boy, you sure can come out holding the wrong end a lot of times too.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of stories where people get robbed after meeting somebody on Craigslist that they, you know, intend to sell like an iPhone to or something. Instead, they get robbed of the iPhone and whatever money they have. It's happened several times in Murfreesboro.
Well, I mean, there's so many different things can happen. I mean, you can see how younger people have been abused over the years by people utilizing that. There's always predators out everywhere, and we don't think of it in that line. Unfortunately, I have dealt with those people for many, many years, and it's hard to get in their head, because they don't think like other people, and we kind of judge people by ourselves, and that's not always a good situation.
But can you imagine being beaten with a claw hammer?
Well, no. it's kind of like the damage that they do up in that area sometimes is irreversible.
I'd say.
And that's to say, he's very fortunate, I can say, by still being able to breathe. Because, I mean, when you have that type of damage and probably anger, and just us sitting here, what in the world would cause that person to react that way with a claw hammer? There had to be something that wasn't right to begin with.
Definitely so.
Yeah. I think I hear somebody trudging down the aisle heading this way. Let's see. Am I going to charge him an extra an extra 15 minutes?
I'm charging you, buddy.
Hey, bud, how are you this morning?
Well, yeah, you're dressed for this. Good grief, I thought I needed to wear a shirt and tie.
Well, I always dress up when I come down here. It's kind of a formal atmosphere, as you can imagine,
when you
come up here. And especially when you have your buddies on. I do want to kind of warn you a little bit. Your wife has mentioned to me that she may be packing up and leaving after this show. She wants you to be careful on what you say today.
Uh-oh.
Miss Janie?
Yeah, I know Miss Janie. Good grief. Anyway, yeah, we may be leaving. That would be a good thing for me to do, is to leave so nobody can catch me. And I'm not going to tell them what color my car is. So there. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm ready for basketball season. How about you?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We just do the girls.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what we do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I love to watch MTSU girls play.
Aren't they good?
Oh, yeah, and that big center they're going to have this year is supposed to be something.
Rick Enslow is such a good coach. You know, his wife was my patient And I didn't even realize that until we were on an airplane. Well, we were on a shuttle. Mm-hmm. I brought that for you. You probably one of those.
Thank you. A flag. Yes, sir.
Yeah, anyway. Whatever.
So what you been up to?
I'm up to about 5'9", but you know, I keep shrinking. My intervertebral spaces are going away. Am I on the air?
Yes.
Should I talk closer?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, intervertebral
although
spaces.
I'm shrinking, too. Yeah, are I've shrunk 2 inches.
Well, I've shrunk 1 inch anyway. The Lord willing, I'll stop somewhere along the way when all the cartilage is gone, I guess. I don't know.
But you still look good. For somebody 55 years old, you look good.
I'm 82. I'll be 83 in January, you know.
That doesn't seem possible. You don't look anything like it. And, well, and your wife is 39.
Yeah,
Janie's 39.
Yeah. No, she's crowding 40.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she doesn't want to admit it, but
she
is.
Doesn't look it.
Yeah, well, like it or not, and she knows that, too, anyway. What's all that stuff?
Oh, that's my schedule and all the people that are coming down here. I just happened to look this morning and said, where's Bud? Because he told me he's going to be here at 8:30.
Well, I was a little bit lagging behind, obviously, so anyway.
Well, you know, being a medical physician, we always have this standing routine. You know, there's Milk Bud Young and there's Dr. Buttermilk Bud.
And Dr. Bud, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody, all of us grew up around here. But the thing about being a physician, and I've always, you kind of grade your medical doctors and people like that in certain ways. You give a lot of your time, I'm fixing to get stuck.
Yeah.
You give a lot of your time away. You've gone on missions and things like that to other countries.
I can't remember.
And it's not just in medical facility where you work, where you do all your business. You're one of these people that's constantly out trying to help other people, and you have done that over the years. And kind of tell me something about what drives you to do that, and what are you looking for when you do it?
You know, I'm not sure that I'm driven to, but yeah, I am too. You know, I hate it. I'm getting too old to do that stuff now. My favorite place to go was in Africa, in Ghana. Mm-hmm. I would fly from here from Atlanta to New York, from New York to Accra. And in Accra, I would get on a shuttle and fly to Tamale on a shuttle plane. Excuse me. Jane was afraid this would happen.
You want me to go get you some water?
No, water doesn't help. Hmm. Anyway, and we would be on a truck from Tamale to where I worked. And the good thing about that place was it had a hospital, and I could do surgery there. You know, and I did, my main drive when going there was to repair women who'd been damaged in childbirth. Mm-hmm. These women, you know, they get pregnant when they're 9 or 10 or 11 years old, and the birth canal's not big enough for the baby. Mm. And they're out in the bush, and they strain and they strain. The baby dies and erodes a hole between the bladder and the vagina. Mm-hmm. And I went to repair those.
So you're a gynecologist. That's your, is that right?
Yeah, thanks. Okay. That was my specialty anyway.
Yes, yes,
yes. And I did 18 of them. 16 of them went home dry, which is quite an experience. You know, we didn't have cystoscope. We didn't have x-rays. What I do is I would inject some methylene blue into their bladder, and where it leaked into the vagina is where I'd have to fix. So I'd fix that anyway. And it's very fulfilling when you do that.
But not having the level of technology there as you do here, is that extremely difficult for you, used to that?
Well, you know, you get used to cystoscopy and IVPs and things like that. You don't have that there. You can get a chest x-ray, you can get a blood sugar and a hemoglobin, a hematocrit, and that's about all the lab work we had. But it was fulfilling. The first night I was there, they told me when I got there, I went there with a general surgeon from Louisiana, and they said, we've got 5 C-sections that need to be done. Mm. The regular deliveries would be delivered by a nurse midwife, and they delivered most of them, of course, but they'd have some that they couldn't deliver. And I did 2 of those, and I had 3 more to go, And I taught this general surgeon how to do a C-section, mm-hmm. and he thought he'd invented the operation.
Wow.
Yeah, he was pretty headstrong anyway. But anyway, so that's what I did. Very fulfilling, very gratifying, and a lot of fun. I've been there three times. The last time I was with three students from Vanderbilt, medical students, mm-hmm. and they were very fulfilling for me to work with too. You know, I taught them how to do a cesarean section. I didn't teach them how to do hysterectomies because nobody can do a vaginal hysterectomy like I can. Anyway, I'm a little bit cocky when it comes to that.
That's what I like in my position. A lot of confidence.
You don't want
I don't want them telling me this maybe or iffy or all that stuff. I want to say this way it's going to be.
I know. You want a physician says, I'm not the best, but I'm right there with the best. So.
Well, I had a back doctor tell me one time, all those years of running and fighting and doing all that other stuff, I messed my back up. So as he explained to me what he was going to do that morning, he said, now, you have a 1% chance of not being able to walk after this surgery, that you'll be an invalid. But then he looked at me and smiled and said, it ain't going to happen. And I mean, whoa. Of course, now, your bedside manner, I say out in these pharmacist places like Reeves Sane, is not the best in the world. I want you to know that.
My bedside manner?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Thanks.
As you remember, last time I saw you and Janie over there, you guys were eating lunch, and I was had this awful rash on both of my legs.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And I had Jason Green over. He was trying to explain to me what he could do to help, and I evidently developed some type of allergic reaction to something.
Of your legs?
Yeah.
You wading through the weeds or something.
Well, I did. I waded through the weeds 2 weeks ago, and I forgot to tell him. And Dr. Rudd, he put me on some medicine, a prednisone, of course, which drives me crazy for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And then
you're still crazy from that?
I'm still crazy from that, okay. As everybody can hear. But you walked up to me and said, you know, Truman, I think you're a diabetic. All that rash is coming out on your leg, so you're a diabetic. And I should have known. That's another one of these tongue-in-cheek things from Dr. Bud Young. But I went home, and it drove me crazy for 2 weeks. But I just had a test, and I was fine, so I knew after that.
You didn't have diabetes. Okay, well,
thank
goodness.
That I was doing fine.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Now, I wonder, since you've been in this business a long time, and you've seen...
I came here in 1961, mm-hmm. after being... but I got my medical degree in 1953.
Wow.
From the University of Tennessee in Memphis. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's about the time penicillin was found.
Wow.
You know, so that's all we had to work with for a long time was... Then we got acromycin and some other things, but anyway, just for your information.
Jane's right, it's going to be one of those shows. But one thing I wanted to get a little bit serious on was the medical industry keeps changing. And most of the people like me, we don't understand the insurance, the liabilities, the medical practices, all those things that go on in private practice. And they keep coming up. You know, we had 10 care, and they're looking at mm-hmm. Obamacare. Everybody's got their own medical plan.
Mm-hmm.
Is there really a good plan to reach out to everybody that's going to keep the medical practice up at the high level that it is right now? I know that's a tough subject, but...
Well, the best plan is to stay healthy.
Right.
Yeah. Eat good, exercise, take care of your wife and your significant other and your children, mm-hmm. and that'll make you feel good. Mm-hmm. Get plenty of rest, get plenty of exercise. Mm-hmm. I don't exercise like I should, but you know, at 82, 83 years old...
That's no excuse.
Well, you know it's not.
I do 10 miles a day. What do you do?
I don't do any, but I work all the
but
time.
But you look good.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
that's what Bubba Whippin always says. You look good.
You're looking good as they look down at you. Don't you look natural?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, let's see. Where were we? Let's see.
Well, trying to get into the best. What are some good ideas for all the people that are trying to work through the medical industry right now to make it a good plan for all concerned. I mean, we doctors over the years, you know, you charge the fees for the people that come in, and then you have people who can't afford, and you still have taken care of them. The hospitals have all those, and of course, you when you go over to these other countries, you see how the poor countries have had to suffer over the years. They haven't had that type of medical care, and especially the third world countries.
Yeah.
And we don't want to get into that type of situation.
You hear
different doctors give different advices.
Well, I never did ask somebody how they were going to pay me, mm-hmm. unless it was a plastic surgery type procedure, you know, like tummy tucks and things like that. Mm-hmm. I did a few of those. But anyway, I never asked anybody how they were going to pay me, because they would pay me. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a C-section on a lady. We had a rotation for taking care of indigent patients. That's patients who can't pay. And I did a C-section on one, and a chart. You know, I sent a one bill. Don't waste stamps on people that are not going to be able to pay. Mm-hmm. So 4 years later, she came in. She said, "I owe Dr. Young $400."
Wow.
And she had $400, and she paid me. So, you know, I never worried about that. It gave me a good life, a satisfying experience in my life, and I always did what I thought was best for the patient without worrying about whether they're going to be able to pay or not. Never ask anybody how they would pay for this. You know, if they needed a hysterectomy, they needed a hysterectomy, and I would do it regardless of their ability. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I can tell you some funny stories. You want funny stories?
Sure. I needed this for you.
You know, I had a lady that came from Woodbury, or Cannon County. Her husband was a noted bootlegger up there.
Surely not. Cannon County?
Yeah, Cannon County. You know, Cannon County ought to be dissolved and made into a national park with all those trees and hills and things like that.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. Anyway, and she says, you know, Papa says I'm not right down there. Not down there, but down there.
Mm-hmm.
And after 14 children, she wasn't. So I said, well, you know, I can fix it. Didn't ask them how they're going to pay for it. Anyway. I don't know whether it'll help or not. I'll try it. I'm just that way. Open it for me. This nice lady's brought
Thank
me some...
Thank you very much.
Some
we have a guest with us today that's going to take... She's going to doctor Dr. Bud today.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
He sure did.
And what year was that?
1902, probably, wasn't it?
It's making me look old, isn't it? It was in 63.
Yeah, I came here in 1961, so.
He came in 61, but my son was the first one that delivered Jeff.
Oh, well, I will be.
Isn't that
something?
Mm. Yes, it is.
Do you have a clue how many babies you've delivered?
You know, I really don't, but I estimated about 4,000.
Wow.
During the, 30 years that I was in practice. That's not a record. People deliver more than that in a year sometimes, but it was a record for me. I didn't, you know, I just took care of them. When they came to me, I'd take care of them.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Bud Young. Rutherford County is full of older adults dealing with the challenges of aging.
Truman Jones for at-home care.
According to the National Family Caregivers Association, Tennessee has nearly 600,000 adult sons and daughters struggling to provide family caregiving to their aging parents.
At-home care.
They're hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. They provide their clients what they want most: to remain in their own homes as independently as possible, with their own familiar possessions, neighbors, and schedules. What they do can't be learned from a book. It comes from the heart. They truly do care. They provide top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee.
At-home care.
Give them a call, 713-4639, and their place of business is located at 237 Castlewood Drive, right here in Murfreesboro.
That's at-home care.
For the forecast area, plenty of sunshine, highs in the low 80s. We'll have a light south-southeast wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 63.
Richard Megan at Century 21 Jones Realty and Auction invites you to the auction of the Danny Eubank Estate. It's this Saturday, 10 a.m. on Mount Pleasant Road in Rockvale. The one-and-a-half-story brick home is just 200 yards from Champions Run Golf Course. It sits on 2.5 acres with a 15-by-20 shop. The extra-nice home is 2,300 square feet and in a great location. The Danny Eubank Estate Auction is this Saturday at 10 a.m. Mount Pleasant Road in Rockvale near Champions Run Golf Course. Century 21 Jones Realty and Auction, firm number 1124. Estate auction this Saturday at 10 a.m.
An indecent exposure arrest. I am Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Complaints of a church volunteer allegedly exposing himself to neighbors resulted in the arrest of Jim Steverson of Christiana on an indecent exposure charge. The 65-year-old suspect taken into custody, booked into the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center, and released after posting a $3,000 bond. A hearing is set November 7th in General Sessions Court. The news brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. You don't have to live with headaches caused by sinus tension or migraines. Call Dr. Mark Kester at 895-1253 for a free consultation. Members of the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge No. 85 will go toe-to-toe with former Tennessee Titans players to raise money for police philanthropic projects, November 10th, 7 p.m., Laverne High School. Admission to the flag football game is $10. Concessions will be served by members of the volunteer organization Box 100. All funds raised will go toward the annual Police Week in Washington, D.C. that honors fallen officers and the families they left behind. In addition, money's being spent on bringing food and toys to children in Laverne who are less fortunate and toward the youth boxing program to help at-risk teenagers. A Murfreesboro man is credited Smyrna Police for saving his life. Jose Cordobo Ruiz, boating in the Stones River on Wednesday when his boat started to sink. Cordobo Ruiz says the boat then flipped, dumping his fishing poles into the water. Another boater saw the man in distress and called police. Officers Keisha Bryant and Gary Schoon responded to the scene and jumped into the water to help. They pulled the victim safely to shore. Cordobo Ruiz then thanked the officers for saving his life. If you need more news, check out our website, WGNSradio.com or Facebook.com/WGNSradio or our breaking news tweets at WGNS Radio. I'm Ron Jordan. You're up to date. This is WGNS News.
This is Bob New. I'm running for state representative in the 37th District. I've been a resident of Rutherford County for 23 years. I'm a registered nurse and veteran. I'm committed to the people of Rutherford County. I will work to bring good-paying jobs to Tennessee, improve our schools, and spend tax dollars wisely. Together, we can move Tennessee forward. I would appreciate your vote on November 6th. Visit my website at electbobnew.com. Thank you.
Any moment. The deer of a lifetime walks by, and you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors.
All right, now you hit that one, my boy.
We got camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells, boots, pretty much anything. We got it. If we don't have it, we'll get it.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street, just down from the old International Paper location.
Small business owners like me can be seen online.
Now I know what it takes to turn my business around.
It was definitely worth taking time out of my busy day.
Are you ready to make your local business succeed? Attend a free online marketing seminar with Yellowbook 360. Go to ybseminars.com.
You get the do's and don'ts of pay-per-click advertising.
Now it's time to sit back and let the leads roll in.
Register today at ybseminars.com. That's ybseminars.com.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Dr. Bud Young. And I didn't realize that you were a Yankee. You were born in Portsmouth, Ohio. And I always thought that you grew up right here for some reason.
No, I didn't. My parents are from North Carolina, Roxboro, North Carolina, for any of you people out there. Anyway, and my older sister was born in Roxboro, mm-hmm. but then my daddy went to Ohio to be he was a minister of music, and that's where I was born. Came back in 6 months, never been back. I need to go see where I was born. I don't know why, because you're born or you're not born, either way. Anyway, and I have a younger sister who was born in Knoxville. That's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. My dad moved to Knoxville when I was 5 years old, and I lived there until I was ready to go to college and went to Memphis for, no, I went to Knoxville for pre-med and then went to Memphis for medical school. Anyway, that was back when they were trying to crowd you through to get you in the Korean War. And I finished in 3 years, but I didn't have to go to the Korean conflict. I think they'd finished that by the time I got old enough, whatever. Anyway, and I went, well, I've just finished my autobiography here. I interned in Houston, Texas, where I worked with Dr. Michael DeBakey. And some of you people who are out there old enough. Remember, Dr. DeBakey was the premier surgeon. He's 97 and still working.
Wow.
And I interned there, went in the service for 2 years. Then I went to my specialty training, which was a three-year program in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Then I came here when I finished that training. I got here in 1961, been here ever since. You know, doctors tend to move every 5 years. Yeah, but I get settled in, and I'm sort of settled in here. Since 1961, don't you reckon?
I would say that you're extremely settled in here.
Yeah, anyway.
But the thing about doctors, you and I were young. They had the general practitioners pretty much that took mm-hmm. care of everything.
Right.
And they did the home stops and all that. Mm-hmm. I can remember Dr. Kaysen, Dr.
Yeah.
Gott. Now, you probably don't remember Dr. Gott, although you might. No, he's the one that delivered me, actually.
Yeah, he died before. I think he didn't commit suicide.
I don't know about that.
Well, anyway, but he died before I got here. Anyway,
but it was
just... Kaysen was still here. Dr. Kennedy worked with him.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kaufman.
Dr. Kaufman, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But doctors were pretty much known throughout the community. I mean, they were the number one source that you wanted to be able to get a hold of when you need them back then.
Well, yeah. Anyway.
But, you know, Miss Mary Hall, Dr. Hall.
Yeah.
They would travel around on buggy all around Reedville and the eastern part of Rutherford County, and she would travel with him. And I think this is one of the more interesting stories I know, that she would actually be his assistant as a young girl, and she always wanted to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He would not let her be a physician simply because women did not do that back then.
Mm.
And I always thought, here she turned out to be one of the greatest educators in the history of Tennessee, but mm-hmm. she really wanted to be a physician at the time.
Well, you know, Dr. Kennedy was the first female doctor that came to Mercer, I think. Mm-hmm. And she was a classy lady and certainly a classy doctor. She worked with Dr. Kaysen. As you say, Dr. Estes was here for years. Dr. Dodd came here about the same time I did. Dr. Ransom, Dr. Radford Smith, and a whole bunch of them. Now, you know, I eat my free lunch at the hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they give us free lunches since we've served our community so well anyway.
Well, that's pretty nice.
Well, it is nice. Yeah, it is.
Great cuisine.
Well, no, not that great, but it's passable. Anyway.
Healthy, right?
I know. If you're hungry, it'll work. Anyway, where was I going with that? I don't know.
I think you were going north with it somewhere.
Somewhere.
I'm trying to follow you.
Anyway, I'm lost now. Let's start another subject.
Well, now what we were actually on at that time, as you know, he's pulling my leg, but the history of the medical, the physicians that were here over all the years is something that I wish that somebody like you that is so knowledgeable about the area here and all the physicians, there's some way that we could chronicle all of that, because what they have meant to the community, it really can't be completely put down in print, but it means so much to me, the way that, you know, that my family has been taken care of and my friends and all that over the years. Mm-hmm. I've had some of my best friends have been physicians simply because they're just really super nice, quality people and giving people. And some of them have a sense of humor like you do.
Well, I guess. Anyway, you know, Dr. Dodd came here.
Oh, great guy.
He was a classy surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
there were times that we didn't get along too well, but that's all right. So you don't get along with anybody too well, your wife included. So anyway.
Janie's listening.
Janie's listening, I know. No, Janie, we get along fine. I'm sorry. Anyway.
People don't realize what. It's a extremely stressful business that you guys get into because you deal with the best of times and you deal with the worst of times. And so many positions and people of that magnitude have to reach out every once in a while themselves for help. Not everybody, but a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do not realize what Dr. Dodd did for the medical community, especially the physicians mm-hmm. that were having to face so many traumatic things.
Right. And he was a fine source for people who had a dependency problem. I think he'd maybe had one himself, so that made him knowledgeable. I had a lady from Woodbury call me about her husband, who was addicted. Mm-hmm. And I called David Dodd, and he, I don't know how they got together, but they got together, and he bailed that guy out. And he is now a normal, functioning medical provider in the adjoining county of Woodbury. So you know, yeah, we have stresses. Most of us manage them. Bob Ransom has chronicled most of the medical community for generations in a book.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Well, I'll lend you my book, but it's not cheap.
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah,
it's a good book. Bob wrote it. he's at Adam's place now. His wife died several years ago.
He was one of my physicians.
Was he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you're in good hands.
Yes, I was.
Anyway, let's see. Where will we go from there?
Well, there's a lot of places that we can go from there, but I've always had I was in a position where I was in a position to be sued for everything I did. And so were you.
You're right.
And a lot of times I think that as a patient, we put the doctors on a higher pedestal than anybody else because they actually basically have your health and your life in their hands mm-hmm. any time they do something like that. But what people don't realize is that doctors are human just like everybody else, and doctors are going to do a lot of wonderful things for you because of their educational process, but they're also going to make mistakes. I mean, every human person is different. Their makeup is different, everything like that. And we expect them to be able to correct whatever's wrong with us in just a given notice. And that's not possible, is it? You have to be able to study. You have to be able to know your patient. And that's why it's so important for the patient and the physician to have a good rapport with each other, good communications.
If you don't like your physician and your physician doesn't like you, you need to find another one. Mm-hmm. I discharged, I think, 3 patients in my 30-odd years of practice because I sensed early on that we weren't going to make it. Mm-hmm. We had personality conflicts, and I would write them a letter and tell them, you know, the usual thing, your records are available, and you need to find someone else to care for you. But, you know, that happens. We have so many doctors in Murfreesboro now that are not, well, what shall I say, Native Americans.
Right.
So they're good doctors. And, you know, when I came here, there were 27 doctors on the medical staff. Now they will admit 27 every 3 months mm-hmm. to our medical staff. But, you know, medicine is so much more complicated. I don't think I could pass the initial exams now.
Huh. Yeah.
But anyway.
Sure.
I could pass the practical stuff. But anyway,
you went through rigid training, and that's something we've all heard. When doctors come over here from other countries, and they have gone through the medical schools that are available there in their particular areas, do you feel like that they're as advanced as the physicians are here that go through our schools?
Well, in order to be able to practice in the U.S. of A., mm-hmm. they have to pass tests mm-hmm. that are presented by the USA. Mm-hmm. And yes, they're capable. Now, they have different philosophies. They have different personalities, and you may not get along with them, but that's not a reflection on their training. It's a reflection on you don't get along with everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I don't get along with you, Truman.
Oh, yes, you do.
Well, I try, but good grief, you know, you're so headstrong and everything. But anyway.
Why would you say a thing like that? we get along all the time.
Listen, you've been the sheriff. You know, thank goodness you didn't collar me sometime. You know, I talked to, what was his name? He was the chief of police here for a while, and his his wife and his babies were my patients. Excuse me.
Well, let's see. We'll go back to anyway. Ian Brown, Bill Jones. Was it Bill Jones?
No, his name was Buddy something.
Oh, Buddy Chambliss.
Buddy Chambliss, yeah. He said...
That was back before Ian, yeah.
Yeah, he said, listen, Doc, if you're going toward the hospital, you're all right. If you're going away from the hospital, you're just like everybody else. And I was coming toward the hospital. You know, this angle between Southeast Broad and... you know, I can't remember the name of that street. You know, it comes and doesn't make a 90 degree. It just makes about a 60 degree. Anyway, and I was going to the hospital lickety-split in my little silver Porsche, and I got pulled into the parking lot.
Oh, this business was good. Silver Porsche. All right. I like that.
You know, I bought it. It was used. I paid $9,000 for it. I can remember that. Anyway, and I got it pulled into the parking lot, and this... officer pulled up beside me and said, I hope you're going in to deliver a baby or something. And I said, well, I am, and if you want to help me, come on. But anyway, and if you want to do something to me, wait here, and when I finish, I'll be back to my car. Well, he was very nice. You know, he's just doing his job, as everybody does anyway. So that's my
I bet you've had some interesting travels coming in. The baby is ready to come.
Sometimes you don't make it. You know, when I first started practicing in Murfreesboro, if you had your baby in a Volkswagen, mm-hmm. Volkswagen gave you $100. And I had one or two patients that collected that $100.
You have got to be kidding me.
No. Anyway.
That was a law enforcement officer's worst nightmare.
What's that?
Is to come up on and a lady is getting ready to have a baby. I mean, no matter what you do, you're not ready to do that. I mean, they give you all these little classes and everything, but you're not ready to do that. It takes somebody with a professional caregiving. My grandmother on my mama's side was the lady who took care of the babies over around Cripple Creek and Readable and stuff like that. What did they call those? It was there was a word for it anyway. But she did that over there, and I always thought, you know, that's a doctor's job. You know, I know they did it all the time at home back then. How were they able to accomplish all that so successfully? Is that just a natural process, or what do you have to know? Say if you're out there riding around today and you run across a lady that's going to have that baby before she gets to the hospital, what in the world do you do?
Stay out of the way. That's what I told one of my partners. Called me one day. He said he'd been called to this home, and we did house calls back then, and this lady was having the baby. What do I do? I said, stay out of the way. Oh. And that's all you can do. You know, when the head comes out, don't let it suck up amniotic fluid or anything like that, but you know, just stay out of the way. But you know, some people feel like it's a natural process, and they should have it at home. We met somebody sailing the Caribbean on a boat. We were on another boat, and he delivered his wife's baby on the boat. You know, when you're having a baby, you need to be in the safest possible place for that baby to be born, and that's the hospital. Doing it at home is not the safest possible place. You may get by with it, but if something goes wrong, it's going to go wrong quick.
So people who give advice, because a lot of people actually want to do everything natural for whatever reason.
I know.
And is it more a chance for some type of infections to set up, or is it something when the baby's born, that baby needs special assistance? Of course, all babies, they're different when they're born. But But I can't imagine growing up in a time where none of that was possible. And yet, the mortality rate had to be in a lot higher at that time than it is now.
Yeah. I think currently the mortality rate for babies is like 1 in 1,000, or maybe 10 in 1,000. Back then it was 100 in 1,000.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a high mortality rate. But, you know, you do the best you can under those circumstances.
The average person thinks, you know, that when a baby's born, that's just a natural thing in the hospital, and it's 100% of the time that baby's going to be all right. But there's extenuating circumstances to everything.
You know, interestingly, when I came to Murfreesboro, the labor room, excuse me, I think I got it. Anyway, the labor room had one nurse and an LPN and an attendant. That's all they had. Now, in our hospital, every patient has at least three nurses or nurse practitioners that are going to be in the presence all the time. Part of that is a reflection of the litigiousness of our society. But back then, that's the best we could do. Ms. Lane was our nurse for years and years, and she was a wonderful lady. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the others, but...
That was Avent Lane's wife, I believe.
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
Back in the early 60s, so...
Yeah, I was thinking...
I don't remember what her wife's name was, anyway. Anyway.
Don't you think that society has gotten so raw when it refers to people wanting to blame somebody all the time for something that is just a natural occurrence? People don't realize that how expensive insurance and everything is right now when it relates to people that have so much responsibility, like physicians do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, things are going to happen. Doctors are going to make an error in judgment from time to time. Why in the world do you hold them accountable for something that are just natural processes? I have never understood that. And like, you want to blame a lot of the cost on the doctors and the hospitals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a look at how much it costs for your insurance just to protect yourself against all of these, what I call, frivolous lawsuits.
Yes. When I came to Murfreesboro, my malpractice insurance was $600 a year.
Mm-hmm.
When I quit practicing, it was $30,000 a year. So that's an astronomical escalation of the cost of malpractice insurance. And a lot of that has to do with the increase in technology.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a machine at the hospital that you do with a hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could do a hysterectomy in 20 minutes with a machine or not,
mm-hmm.
and lose no blood. I did a study of 300 of my last hysterectomies, and I had one patient that needed blood, and she needed it when she came in because she was low, never gave another unit of blood. And, you know, they'd stay in the hospital for 4 or 5 days after one, but now they go home the same day.
Wow.
Which is okay. You know, we recognize that that was an extended stay. But anyway, Matt Murphy was one of the paragons of medicine.
I loved him. I did. You talking about a sense of humor.
Yeah, well, he did. Yeah, he was smart. Man, he wanted to be a politician, but his dad said, no, you're going to be a doctor. So he turned into a doctor. Not the very best, I'll have to admit, but he didn't lose any patients that I can remember anyway. He called me a couple of times for some strange and unusual events. I mean, a woman had an everted uterus after the baby was born. And he called me, and there that was that uterus inside out, protruding from the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, we had ether back then. And one of the things about ether was it would cause the uterus to relax. And so I got the ether, you know, open drop can. You know, mm-hmm. you take a pair of scissors and cut a hole in it and put a mask on the lady's face mm-hmm. and start shaking that ether in there. They hated it. But it was the only thing that we had. Anyway, and I got the uterus to relax, put some towel clips around four corners of the uterus and pushed that sucker back in. Now, if it were a cow, she'd die. But I never lost a patient.
Anyway. I love the way you phrase that.
Well, I mean, I told that to somebody and said, well, if it had been a cow, she'd have died anyway.
You've had so many interesting stories. There's no way that you could put them all down in a book. There really is. And you're talking about some of these characters. And I love Dr. Murphy. I did, because he was a man's man. Mm-hmm. And you would have fit right in. In the emergency room with all these people that we would traffic in all day and all night, because they were under different influences and whatever when we would bring them in. And I never will forget, this kid had an accident, and he had long hair all the way down below his shoulders. And Dr. Murphy was called to come down, and he had been at the barn, of course, and he told him to go ahead and prep him, cut the area around so he could sew it up on top of his head. When he got there, of course, he's in his boots and everything, and he walked in, and the parents were standing in there with us, and he looked at that boy, and his hair was still long, except for that one spot. And he told the nurses, I told you to prep him. And they said, well, we did. We shaved around the area. And he says, he got some scissors that looked like they were the type that you would snap at these ribbon-cutting contests, and started shaving him himself. The parents got up and grabbed him and took off. And I said, how great that was. Mm. That tickled me to death that he went in there, and he was going to make a statement before he did his surgery,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't happen. But things like that back in... You would have been great as a law enforcement officer or a doctor, either one, because that was some of the most memorable times I can ever remember, going into that, where people are going through all this different kinds of trauma, and the way it all reverted back to the poor physician that had to take care of it.
Reverted back is redundancy.
It is.
Take a break.
I'm used to that.
Anyway,
we're going to take a quick break, as Dr. Bud Young says, and we'll be right back with him on his show.
With the cost of college rising every day, there's never been a better time to start saving. That's why the Tennessee Department of Treasury created the new Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program. Visit www.tnstars.com to open an account with as little as $25. If you're a Tennessean and you open an account with at least $50 by December 31st, you get a one-time $50 match from the state. Plus, if you roll over your entire balance from another college savings plan, you'll receive $100 in your account. To learn about the Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program, its investment objectives, risks, and costs, read the official statement available at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Check with your home state to learn if it offers tax or other benefits for investing in its own 529 plan. Open your Tennessee Stars account online at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Don't wait. Open your account today.
Registration for the second annual Special Kids Race presented by MMC is now open. With a sold-out first-year event, mark your calendar for Saturday, March 23rd, 2013, and choose from one of three distances, the 1-mile fun run, the 5K, or the 15K. Registration is limited to 3,000 participants, so don't miss out on one of Murfreesboro's biggest races. With your help, Special Kids can reach even more children with special needs. Register today at specialkidsrace.org and run for the kids.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hot Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
I've got pests.
AmeriCare Services Incorporated, family-owned and operated for residential and commercial customers, we offer a full range of services. Our services include one-time, monthly, and quarterly pest control, termite control, moisture and fungus control, automatic foundation vents, and more. Licensed, insured, and bonded for your protection. 893-7111.
Call the best of the best to get rid of your pests.
AmeriCare Services Incorporated.
WGNS.
Looking ahead, there's a Civil War symposium this Friday and Saturday. It'll be at three different locations: the Stones River Battlefield, the Heritage Center in downtown Murfreesboro, and First Presbyterian Church. Right now, call the Stones River National Battlefield and secure your position at Turkey Trot, right after school on Friday at Northfield Elementary School. And the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department's having their big carnival Friday and Saturday night starting at 5 o'clock in the evening at Garfield Crescent Park. In addition to the carnival atmosphere, the not-so-haunted hayride for the youngsters, and for the older ones, the old Scream Road, Murfreesboro's scariest hayride. That's over at Garfield Park. And Alfred Hitchcock's 39 Steps, 7:30 Friday and Saturday night, and a 4:30 Sunday matinee at the Lamplighters Theater in Smyrna. The big Heritage Festival starts at 10 o'clock Saturday at Bradley Academy. That's the one with the turnip green cook-off. And at the same time, just down the street, Harvest Days at Cannonsburg. Those are Good Neighbor events.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And back with Dr. Bud Young, and I was just telling about one of my good buddies, Dr. Rulin, that just passed away, and one of the nicest people. And, you know, that's mostly what I found in the medical practices around here, is that you guys work so close together. You had mentioned that he had sent you patients, and you know, that's something that I really respect, is because they feel comfortable with your skills and dealing with patients. But you have dealt with, you've had a number of funny episodes over the years that I'm sure that you've got to put in a book if you haven't already.
No, I haven't. I don't know. Bob Ransom wrote a book about the medical profession, and it's a good book, but I haven't kept up with mine. I said I delivered 4,000 babies, but I should have kept a, you know, every time I delivered a baby, put a check in a book or something, but I didn't. One of my funny stories is this lady who was from Cannon County came in, and she'd had 14 babies, and it had stretched her private parts out of proportion, and her daughters, who were in their 20s, attractive ladies, came to me and said, you know, Mama probably needs some repair work down air, not down there, but down air. You know, I had a boat. I started to name it the Down Air, but my wife wouldn't let me. Anyway, so...
Understandable.
And she did need the repair work, so I admitted her to the hospital, did a hysterectomy and some repair work on her, and sent her home to come back in 6 weeks, which she did. She came back in 6 weeks. She had some tissue that needed a little treatment, and I treated it with silver nitrate stick and to have her come back in another 2 weeks. But I said, now, but you and your husband can now get together. Well, before she went home from the hospital, I said, now, you can't be with your husband until after I check you. Mm-hmm. And one of the daughters looked at her and said, what are we going to do with Papa? What are we going to do with Papa? I said, I don't care what you do with Papa, but he cannot sleep with his wife until I check her. Well, she came back and I checked her and treated this granulation tissue with a silver nitrate stick, but had her come back in 2 weeks. And she came back in 2 weeks, and she had on the finest silk dress she ever had, and some Evening in Paris perfume and stuff like that. And she said, Papa said if you had another $100, he'd give it to you.
It's nice to be appreciated, isn't it?
Well, it is, regardless of how it is. Anyway.
You know, if I was a physician like you and delivered as many babies, I would take a look, kind of keep a historical line on how they grow from the time that they're born to when they become old enough to become successful, or vice versa in whatever jobs they do. Have you ever kept kind of like teachers do? They keep a running list of who they had and how they shaped their lives. And you, of course, shaped their lives by actually at the birth at that time. Have you kept up with a number of people that were your patients when they came into this world?
Unfortunately, no. I just didn't. But I'd see patients at Kroger's. They'd come up to me and hug me and say, you delivered my first baby.
Wow.
And they expect me to know his name and how much he weighed and all that. And I'm just flattered that they came up to hug me, not to remember anything. But you know, it's an interesting experience. But you know, I kept up with the people in Africa more than I did these.
Wow.
Anyway, But I didn't have that many.
Because they had so many specific needs.
Yeah, yeah, anyway.
I mean, to look at the poverty in this world and then compare it to what we've got, we don't really realize how lucky we are. We're living in...
You are so right. Yeah, there's not the poverty in the U.S. of A. that there is in one small town in Africa. But, you know, they don't realize that they're poverty-stricken. Timmy was a little African boy, and he kind of tagged along with me. We had a room that had a television set in it and a computer, and I could go work on the computer, and Timmy would follow me and watch the TV. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of programs they were. They may have been pornographic, but anyway, I didn't pay any attention to him. Mm-hmm. But he would follow me like a little puppy dog, and I loved him, you know. And he's a grown man now, I'm sure. But he would follow me back to where we lived, and he'd say, "Well, I must go home now, Dr. Young," and he would take off down this lonely black trail to where he lived. But he was just
over there in the African wilds.
In the African wilds, you know,
not think anything about it,
not give it a thought.
You know, we have some people that go on, the Evanses from our church go on mission trips over to Africa.
Do they?
And it's amazing to me what they want to take with them. Something like sunglasses is a luxury for those kids over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, all kinds of little different sunglasses and things like that. And that amazes me that we never see that. I mean, we're blocked away from it all. Mm-hmm. But people like you, you take the time and the effort to go over there and try to do something for those people, which I find very admirable and really a super nice thing. Because here you are, you've done everything in your life. You've become successful. You've got a great family. You just got everything there is to go. But yet you move away from the comfort and the love of here to go over there to try to make somebody's lives better. And I really appreciate what you've done, not only over there, but especially over here, too, because if you've got a good doctor, you're blessed. You really are. They can make your life so much better. I've had so many. Of course, I've known you and Dr. Rudd, and, of course, Dr. Rulin I just lost, but I've had so many great physicians that have kept my life at a much higher level than what it would have been if I hadn't had them. And I really do appreciate you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
You miss one more thank you, and then we'll go.
Thank you.
It's been a special day today. I really do like Dr. Bud Young and his wife, Janie. They're just really, really super people. And tomorrow, we've got another show at 9 o'clock. And we have Mr. Jeff Jordan on. And we were talking about school teachers a minute ago and announcers and coaches, and he fits right in that category. So we'll see you in the morning at 9.
Just in my Sunday school class.